best mates, talking the sport they love. Hamish and Dean, join RSN Central.
Let's welcome in the Million Dollar Team. Dean Lester, hello to you.
Hello there, Gareth.
And Hamish McLaughlin, hello to you. Did you get a haircut? It looks like you've had a haircut. Did you turn up at the hairdresser at
midnight
past 12?
I've given myself a fit this morning on the basis it was looking so ridiculous. I took the scissors to myself and Lex,
don't lie,
my boy who's been crook overnight, said, "Dad, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just trying to work through it here."
We know that's not true, Dino, because that man with the hair that Hamish has, he would treat it with so much respect, I would imagine. He'd be like,
well, if he's cut that, you are the new Vidal Sassoon, fair dinkum. That is outstanding.
I've gone shorter on the sideburns, just taking a bit of the grey off the sides and sort of left the top. The length, I'm trying to get Kernahan-esque out the back. I've seen a couple of young kids like Rowan Browning who look good with, what do you think?
That'll be good on the coverage tomorrow.
Windy. We might take a picture for our social media fans out there so they can actually see what we're talking about.
There you go.
You're the Ray Burgundy, not you're with the perm and all.
Ron
that.
Burgundy.
Yeah, Ron Burgundy, I should say, with the perm. Have you ever
Ray's brother? Yeah. Yeah, I know. I had perms all up until lockdown. I was having a perm every Friday, just going to Friday night footy, just getting a bit of flow through it.
Have you met Ray? He's a good bloke, Ron's brother, too. You should have a beer with him if you can once we get out of lockdown. We're going to go and have a chat about our favourite pups, I think, today as well. 0416 9050 52. Let us know your favourite watering hole, especially for the people in Melbourne, because we can get to the pub. Now, not all pubs are open just yet. My favourite pub in South Melbourne, the Emerald's, not open until Wednesday.
I checked
that out. And you might be a long line, and you might need to know someone to get in these days. But, it's exciting anyway, Dino. It's been a long time for us all.
Yes, gradually getting there, Gareth. And, looking forward to it.
Did you enjoy your run around the tan today, Hamish?
Didn't go today. I'm down at the farm. Nothing to go up for. I'll go up in the morning, do one. I did one this morning, though. I went around the place. Spring grass is growing quickly. Everything looks magnificent. More rain on the way. Bit of heat. Good time of the year. Horses' skin's starting to sort of get to the point where you want them. It's an exciting time. Kids have got their horses being shot at 11 today. We're riding after school. Okay. Cox Plate tomorrow. Manicato tonight. Bingo banger.
Doesn't get much better. Let's start with the Hall of Fame, please.
Well, I didn't know about a kid called Harry Enright until you forwarded me a tweet during the week. And Harry is 17 years of age. He's been riding since he was 8. He's from southeast London. He has one arm and he wants to be a jockey. So he registered for the British Racing School and they sort of thought, well, how is this possible? And then someone running the British Racing School said, well, it's the 21st century. Anything's possible. They went and saw some people who are very clever, got an arm built that's magnetised with a few cords and wires that goes back to the saddle so that if anything goes wrong, comes off and doesn't get dragged along with the horse. He's passed twice now. He's graduated through two courses so far. And Dino, at 17 with one arm, there's a high possibility we see Harry Enright riding in races with one arm with assistance.
It's quite amazing. Quite amazing. And yeah, it's a beautiful story.
I might play a little bit of the story that was played over in England. This was on social media that we found it. And it starts with Harry's mum.
Where do I start with Harry? Had an interest in horses from a very, very young age. And then he came to us when he was about 14 and said, I want to be a jockey. I want to be the first one-handed jockey. And, you know, being a mum, I said, of course you can. And then my head was, how the hell are we going to do this? We found the British Race School.
It was why I did come on leaps and bounds, and just his self-esteem and confidence and growing as a young man. They pulled that out of him. We sent him here as a little boy and he come back unto us a young man. So we couldn't be more happy with the progress that he's made.
Good boy. Big man.
Extremely proud of him, and I think behind all of this as well is for him to inspire others like him to never give up on their dreams, to, you know, really put yourself out and keep trying. You know, we're in the 21st century, you know, that a lot can be done, and he wants to show that it can.
Go and get them, Harry. I can't wait for his head-to-head with Frankie Dettori, if he's still riding in a couple of years anyway, there at Royal Ascot. And Harry's mum just summed it up beautifully. Why not? Why not try and live?
Buying it's fantastic, isn't it? We speak often on this show about just going through the glass ceiling and pushing yourself to limits that can't seemingly be obtained. We heard Dean Boxall talking to Ariane Titmus, I'm the author of her pain. I set her impossible tasks, and she keeps achieving them. And as a result, she became an Olympic champion. Maybe doing things that people thought impossible end up with Harry Enright riding a winner at Ascot. I mean, why not, Dino? Why not?
Absolutely, why not? And it's a beautiful piece, and it's getting closer to reality for Harry. It's fantastic.
Great moments in the Cox Plate. I thought I'll start off our conversation with this package.
On the turn, and Kingston Town cruised up to our Paddy Boy, took the lead in the centre, Prince Ruling, and then Yurtiz and Waitangarua. But the real Kingston Town's going to street them, and Kingston Town's gone on to win by 4 lengths. Not responding, Kingston Town. On the turn, it's Benbinga from Lawman, 2 lengths to Kingston Town, now getting out from Silver Bounty. Kingston Town's got out, he's pulled the whip on him, tackling Lawman quickly. Kingston Town raced to Lawman from Silver Bounty. It's Kingston Town, Lawman in front, Kingston Town wearing him down. He'll win, the million-dollar man's won it. Kingston Town, a half length to Lawman.
A length and a half, Lawman. Kingston Town can't win. Then L.A. Bajou and the 3-year-old Grosvenor running on. My Axman took the lead from Fearless Pride. Grosvenor coming down the outside is after them. My Axman in front. Grosvenor and Kingston Town flashing. He might win yet the champ. Grosvenor took the lead. Oh, Kingston Town swatting them. What a run. Kingston Town wins it, an extra Grosvenor.
You can listen to Bill Collins call over and over again, but he still has that ability. I think he would have been 91 the other day, the great Bill Collins. But he's still got the ability to make you feel that goosebumps type of that special feeling when you listen to his calls, Hamish.
Oh, yeah. I were about to play 1986, and I think that was one of the great race calls of all time. He took you on a journey. He told you what the horses were doing. He almost told you what the jockeys were thinking. It's interesting when you hear the Kingston Town call. So I asked Bruce McAvaney one day about it, and I said, do you think Bill would have regretted saying Kingston Town can't win? He said, no, it was his defining moment. It was perfect because he couldn't win, and that's what made it so brilliant. Then he got it absolutely right. Kingston Town couldn't win. Until he did.
Yeah, all three. I think the other two are undersold. His first Cox Plate, at about the 400, he says, we're going to see the real one today. And for those that didn't know, Kingston Town was unbeatable in Sydney, but he was a 5-start maiden in Melbourne going into that Cox Plate. So he needed a win in Melbourne, and we saw the real one. The second one, he was in a bit of trouble. Ron Quinton edged his way out. The horse crabbed around the turn, found a way to win. And the third one, obviously, the crown and glory for the horse and for everything. But, a wonderful trilogy of races by the horse and the caller.
Sometimes they say the best jockeys are the jockeys that don't mind to do the form. And I was reading an article by Shane Dye there the other day, which involves Shane Dye, and says about the punting jockeys. But Bill Collins, Dino, he was a punting race caller. And I think sometimes in his calls, that was one of that made him so great as well, because he could read a race so well.
Well, he could read a race. And at the moment, he said Kingston Town couldn't win. A very young Greg Miles said exactly the same thing. And I think everyone thinking in their heart of hearts, he couldn't win. And he found a way. And that's why he was a champion. And that's why Bill was a champion, because he spotted what the urgency was.
Hey.
Well, it's amazing how you get taken away with race callers. Bill Collins, I'm not sure the first caller that really took me, but Ian Craig, I think I've mentioned on this show a few times, but every time you go back and listen to Bill Collins, he seems to be able to, as Dino said, read the race really well, bring it to life, and have a line or two that's perfect. And you know, when you talk about great Cox Plates, it's the same voice, same track, same brave horses. But in 1986... he said, amongst all of the hustle and bustle, the New Zealanders have gone early. Mm. And then he had to maintain this extraordinary cadence and continue to build until the 2040-metre mark. And he uttered the line that I think everyone that's even got a passing interest in sport knows, let alone racing. And I often use it. If, you know, the kids and I are running to the front gate and Miller beats me, I'll say, Miller races into equine immortality. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you'll find out late enough. But this is Bill in 1986. He was just sublime.
They've raced to the lead. 600 out. Have they gone too early? 2 lengths to Drought running up the third from Society Bay. They were followed then by Drawn Under the Whip at the head of the others, Dinky Flyer.
but our Waverley Star, he got a half length of Bone Crusher. He's gone for the whip on Bone Crusher. Three lengths to Drought, followed then by Diggy Flyer and Drawn. But the two great New Zealanders have come away on the turn. Our Waverley Star, a half-length Bone Crusher. The Big Red won't give in. Drought running on. Bone Crusher responds to the whip. The roars of the crowd. He races up to our Waverley Star. 100 out. Bone Crusher, our Waverley Star. Stride for stride. Nothing in it. Our Waverley Star, the rails. Bone Crusher, the outside. And Bone Crusher races into equine immortality. $1.5 million as he photo finishes our Waverley Star.
Just everything about it, Dino, you know, talking about the whips, where they were, what had happened, where the horses were from, who was on the inside, who was on the outside, everything about it. You could just see it just from listening.
Well, it's the rhythm too. He's calling slowed down because they were getting tired. He was getting tired. So you understand it. The one thing I'd never noticed until I listened to it just then was about when he said they've raced to the lead 600 out, they've gone too early. The crowd went very quiet, like, could there be an upset? Could something be? And then the crowd roars when he says that the Bone Crusher lifts the roar of the crowd. And it was a phenomenal race. It was just the best build up to a race, and two as bad a rides as you'd ever see. And they still fought it out.
You have a propensity as a caller to get overexcited or to go too early or to strain. We all have done that, and you know, some of us still do at the wrong time. But Bill didn't. As you say, the horses slowed down and he didn't go too early, and he got it right all the way to the line.
Do you think he was getting, as you pointed out, like he with the energy at the 600, he went with them? But when I listened to it back then, it's like the horses were getting tired, but so were Bill. Like Bill needed the line, but he was still able to dig deep and nail that finish to perfection.
Well, it was always the thing that if you called on, you know, and it was, you know, you called to someone that couldn't see it, and you don't, you can picture that race in your mind.
Do you think that could happen tomorrow, Dino? Do you think we could get a Bone Crusher Waverley Star? Can Saki take off with Very Elegant, or could Craig push the button early with Animo?
Maybe. Yeah. There was certainly something going at about the 700. There usually is. But often, you know, we saw that building in 2016 because Hartnell was, you know, the challenger to Winks. Yeah. In about four strides, Winks said, no, you can still remain the challenger because I'm the champ.
You're with Gareth Hall, Dean Lester, Hamish McLaughlin, 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. We'll take a break and we'll come back and go through our other favourite Cox Plate moments. 10 minutes to 11, a couple of nominations coming through for their favourite pubs, or the favourite pubs, the Carfield Hotel. We'll be kicking the doors in at 5:15 tonight. 45 schooners, drink responsibly, coming my way. The Falcon, which is a pub in between Echuca and Shepparton. The Northeastern Hotel in Euroa, nothing like that. The Emerald, the Ascot Vale Hotel's got a couple of votes as well, so keep them coming in. Dino, your turn for one of your favourite Cox Plate moments now, please.
Well, Gareth, growing up, my first two equine loves were Gunsind and Leilani going through when I was younger, but the first horse that blew me away and the day that he really did it was in the 1979 Cox Plate.
At the 400, Dulcify shot away 2.5 lengths imposing. Then Shivery under the whip from Arbor Shane and Gypsy Kingdom. But Dulcify well clear. Brent Thompson going for his fourth Cox Plate. And he's got it. He's home, Dulcify. He's six lengths in front of Shivery and then Arbor Shane imposing, stopping. Dulcify's won by a minute. And that's the way he might win the Melbourne Cup. Dulcify by six lengths to Shivery.
It's my favourite line, Dino, sometimes from Bill Collins. He's going to win by a minute. That's the way that he might win the Melbourne Cup.
Sadly, he didn't, Gareth. No. But, it was Brent Thompson's fourth ride in the Cox Plate by the age of, 22, and his fourth win in the Cox Plate. So remarkable. And Dulcify, that 12 months, that whirlwind he had. I'd seen him, the Cox Plate, the year before, running the what's now the Vars. It was only 1,600 then. Then he won the Derby the week after. And to see what he did in that following year, win the Australian Cup and AJC Derby, Craigley Stakes, Turnbull Stakes, Cox Plate, McKinnon Stakes. He was a phenomenal horse in a whirlwind period of time. And it just makes your mind wonder if he'd stayed sound, if he'd still been around the next year, he'd have run against Kingston Town. It would have been some sort of Cox plate.
Didn't he start 100-1 on debut on a wet track in Adelaide?
330-1, Gareth.
That was
and
over.
Sailed home.
And I think they were tipping him too, weren't they? Or someone.
I don't know. But, yeah, anyway, he won. And within two or three starts, he'd won the South Australian Derby and then the VRC Derby. So, yeah, he's a remarkable horse.
Talking about pubs, sometimes I run into Brent Thompson at my local there.
The Emerald, yeah, yes.
Sometimes. Anyway, I could listen to Brent talk all day, but how special was it? He's listening probably right now, Dino. But to win four Cox Plates, he was a jockey from New Zealand that travelled the world. But what made him so good?
Oh, well, I mean, he was the prototype of the new age jockey. I mean, in that period, he came over, was he 17 when he won on Fury's Order in 1975, and then to win on Family of Man's so-called Dulcify three consecutive years. He didn't ride in 1980 and 1981, and 82 was going for five straight on Fearless Pride, and it looked a bit of a chance on the turn, but didn't happen. But that year he won the Corville Cup on Gurner's Lane instead, and Corville Cup on Lord Reams. He's just a spectacular jockey. Ascot Gold Cup win too.
Have Google called you to try and speed up their search engine on equine answers, Dino?
Only in the early 80s and 90s, Hame. Yeah. From there on, try someone else.
I've never known anything like it. You Google Brent Thompson, you couldn't find the information as fast as Dino spits it out.
Hey, Dino, take us back.
I was going to tell you a story at the Emerald, and we were fairly a long way into the day at the Emerald, to be honest, with Brent and I and Robbie Griffiths. And Robbie Griffiths said, I once rode Orthal early in its career when it first came over from Europe. And before you won a Group 1 on it. And Brent Thompson said, don't win a Group 1 on it, did I? He won an Underwood Stakes around third in the Corporate Cup. That's how many Group 1s he won.
That's arrogance at its best. Hey, Dana, let's go back to 1987. If we put that in Google, what do we find?
Well, what we find is a bit of a scenario similar to what we face tomorrow. Rubiton was the absolute star of 1987. He'd won the Manikato Stakes, the Memsey, the Fian, the Underwood. He went round long odds on in the Caulfield Stakes and got beaten. So a bit of the Zaki scenario. He was seeking redemption in the Cox Plate, and this was Bill's last Cox Plate call. And what he spat out in the last 200 metres, because there was a lot going on, was quite incredible.
Rubiton and Fair Sir out after it. It's our Poetic Prince in front. Rubiton stumbled, bumped into Fair Sir. Our Poetic Prince a length in front. Rubiton gets balanced, races up on the outside. Rubiton's hit the front, and Rubiton's won the Cox Plate. About a neck to our Poetic Prince a length, the Fair Sir. Fourth, Bo Rogue, and then Bozan.
In the early part of that call, Bill said, I've never seen a Cox Plate like it, because Vaux Rogue was 20 lengths in front, as Vaux Rogue loved to do. So it was a spectacular race on the back of Bone Crusher and Waverley Star the year before. Totally different, but just as intriguing.
Just on the Bill Collins era, Dino, we hear all of his great calls in the WS Cox Plate, but we can't forget, next to him in some of the other broadcast box, there were champion broadcasters doing what Bill was doing, but because Bill was so good at his craft, we don't get to hear those race calls as often as we probably should.
No, and they were wonderful callers. Yeah. I grew up, and it was a absolute fierce thing. You were either 3UZ Bert Bryant, or you were 3DB Bill Collins. That was how it was until you were fiercely in one corner or the other.
Yeah.
Is it possible, Dino, and I'm just trying to work out that whether it was the 86 Cox Plate, that Bruce was calling it as well and thought he'd done a
Greg
super
Miles.
Job. And then was it Greg Miles, Bruce, and Bill Collins? And they're all calling it together. And Bruce thought he'd nailed it. And then he heard Bill Collins' call and his bottom lip dropped.
Yeah, he just said, I went okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you score 100 and you go home and your brother says, I've just scored 150. And you thought, I thought I was going to be the king of the house for at least a week.
Well, Bailey Fritsch on a Saturday night was speaking to him. The Demons had won. We're in the Demons' room. She'd kicked three or four. And in the ad break, he was talking to his brother on the phone. He'd kicked 20 goals five for Coldstream. Yes. So, well, you won, but you only kicked three.
Talking about greatness, I think this was a great moment. 2005, Hamish.
I remember where I was sitting. I remember the monitor. I remember saying to the bloke next to me, she's cruising, but God, she's going wide. And we speak of the great Maccabi. I've never seen a turn at the valley with so many horses in contention, but you sort of knew what was going to happen.
It's Maccabi Diva, Fields of Omar and Lateria. Well, the great Bears hit the front. Maccabi Diva from Lateria. Fields of Omar fighting back. But it's Maccabi Diva in front of Lateria. Fields of Omar coming back in the middle. But Maccabi Diva, she's the champ. She wins the Cox Plate. Three quarters Lateria. A great run by Fields of Omar ahead away third.
The piece that I found extraordinary, and if you freeze framed it, Dino, on the turn, you've never seen so many horses fanned across, have you, in a big race like that?
Yeah, and there was just that moment, as you said, they were fanned across, but you couldn't actually see Glenn Boss, and they were all riding along, and then just his hands appeared, and he hadn't moved a muscle. It was just beautiful to watch, and that was the day that, Cox Plates, we often, you go to see the contest, which we will tomorrow, but some years you just go to see a horse, and that was the year we went to see her do what she did, a bit like Winx in the second, or well, probably the third and the fourth Cox Plate. But, that was all about the horse. The next year was all about a race, and it was a great contest. But she was magnificent that day, Maccabi Diva, and 10 days later, even better again.
So it depends who you speak to a bit on when it was decided she was running the Cup. Some say she was always running. Some say it was a Tuesday morning post the Derby or the Cox Plate.
It was a Thursday. The Thursday after the Cox Plate, Glenn Boss went down and galloped. That was when all the news crews were trying to get footage of it. And then on the Saturday, I think she galloped at Mornington. And I'll be paraphrasing Bossy, but I think he sort of eventually said, "This is a runaway train that can't be stopped. Yeah. We've got to go with it."
So. I think he said it on RSN Central just over a year ago. He was standing on the hill there at Markdale, and he just had that moment with Maccabi Diva, and he said it was like an out-of-world type of feeling, and he said to himself, this horse cannot get beat in the Melbourne Cup. We'll go back to 2017, Dino.
2017, Gareth? Why not? Why not? This was the day that, the second Cox Plate, we thought we had a contest. The third, it just looked like she would go and win. But there was one little stumbling block at about the 200-metre mark when a horse came out of the pack at big odds.
Did you get scared, Dino?
I did, Gareth, because I saw it about the 500. I'll mention this in two parts so that we don't get too many texts. Yep. The two great losing rides in Cox Plates are Greg Hall on Mahogany and Greg, okay, and Humidor Blake Shin. That was an unbelievable ride, and he'd cut every corner and he'd stalked her into the race, and she'd been covering a little bit of ground on a good speed, and just that moment when he peeled off, and you knew he'd come off a 2,400-metre run in the Corvair Cup the week before, so he's hard fit. But then her invincibility kicked in, and she did what she did best everywhere, but especially at the Valley.
When were you most worried that Winx was going to get beaten, Dino, watching her from afar? Turnbull, that Cox Plate, or when she missed the start and had to run down Fox Play? Or was it the George Ryder when she went really flat at about the 800?
No, I think it was the day she missed the start, because it was just, it was only 1,400. She didn't have a lot of time to get her rhythm. She had to come out. And that Turnbull Stakes, I don't know whether it was just that I had so much faith in her. I was always comfortable that she'd probably, she'd pick them up. And Huey just seemed to be riding with that sort of confidence. But I think that was, foreign territory, 1,400, missing the start. And when horses miss the start, often means they're off their game. Just all round. So, to think maybe she mightn't be at her best. So that was the day I thought, it might happen. And even, it might have been her next start, the George Main. I watched it at Flemington. I was standing next to Damien Lane, and about the 700, we both sort of said, gee, this might be the day she gets beaten. But by the 600, she was in the race.
Jesus, a host of SMSs coming through. 0416 90.
Pubs or Cox Plates, Gary.
Pubs or Cox Plates.
A bit of everything, lads. Everyone wants to have a chat to you. So, do you mind if I ask you a few questions from our listeners? This is from one of our friends on RSN 927 on RSN Central. Can you ask Dino and Hamish if they think there is merit in having the Cox Plate on a Friday night, brackets primetime TV, no other sport to compete with, and the best use of the track and the Metacarto on a Saturday?
He won't get the turnover because no one else will go with you on a Friday night, and they'd want it's all that's what it's got to be. Look, I mean, as a visual, it would work, but yeah. We are driven by the turnover, so.
Humidor broke the track record in the Cox Plate when he ran second, which was quite amazing, really, as you just pointed out, Dino.
Yeah.
Who are you tipping, Hamish, in the Cox Plate?
Well, I on Tuesday morning, as you know, that award-winning show, That's Racing, has a segment called Betting Like the Watsons. And I went with Zaki on the back of ringing Dean, as I always do, and say, what am I doing for the feature? And I'm sort of still with Zaki, I think, drawn well enough. J-Max, I think, a big plus for Zaki. They know each other well. He's really excited by it. I'm not sure whether it's Very Elegance, The Danger, or Animo, but I'm happy to put a line through the last start of Zaki and think it was just bad afternoon. Everything before it was pretty unbelievable.
I've got a stat for you, Dino. And Michael Gurin just texted this, and he's also tweeted it. I thought he was saving it for our show. But James McDonald has ridden every horse in this year's Cox Plate.
That's a stat. Oh.
That is it. He's ridden Gold Trip?
Oh, horses that are raced in Australia, I should say.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
State of Rest?
No, the Australasian
horses. Call sign Mav.
Yep.
He's ridden a few of them then.
So he's ridden a few of them.
Yep. Well, I've been completely thrown out of the bus there.
He has won group ones on Zaki, Animo, and Captivant. That's a good stat. Very Elegant. There's four. I don't think he's won a group one on Probabil, but yeah. Well, he might have.
No.
He ran third on Delasan last start.
I completely stuffed that up.
So he's Dean and I have all ridden about the same amount of horses in the Cox Plate.
Yes. Now, I love this from Kevin Atherson. He says, I'm 68 and I still get tears rolling down my face when I hear Bill's magnificent calls. That's sensational.
He's not one out in the quaddy there. I'm the same.
No. We should do the Kingston Town trilogy as we finish the show. Yeah. Tell Mikey to get ready with that little sucker.
We will. Hey, we've got to go to Hillsville here, lads, and then we've got the Friday there's a few questions. They wanted a couple of lessons from Dino. Some people have texted in and they go, Dino, what's the key to punting successfully at Moonee Valley? So Dino's the man, the great tip-off. You look at the stats there. Dino's the king of the valley. And says, Bill didn't need the line as much as Jimmy Jakes did that time at Globe Derby.
No.
So I thought I might... Hey, Mikey, roll the tape, please. Jimmy, that race call I asked.
I need you, mate.
Yeah, here we go. Mikey, wait a sec. It's coming Lindell up. Here we go. Jimmy.
One out, one back. We earn a tease. And on the inside, three back. Booba, Owie Boy, and Harding coming three wide now. We're one step closer. Just racing greenly at the tail end of the field. Heading towards the 600. Second quarter, 32-1. 65 for the half. Now he goes full steam ahead. We're one step closer. And he goes forward three wide quickly. Going with the Lalaya Rose on the inside. Cop and Eiffel can't go with them. Then in turn behind those between. Runners, we own a T-gen on the inside. Lindell Dainty and at the tail in the field. We're looking about 5 or 6 metres to Booba Rowie Boy. I think we're gone here in front, leading the way. It's Elia Rose, leads by 2 metres in second placing. No, I don't think I'll get through this. Elia Yatesy, where are you? We need you, mate. In front of Elia Rose, down the outside, trying hard, was one step closer. But Elia Rose wins. Second placing.
Jimmy. I loved how he said at the 400-metre mark, I think I'm gone here. You were gone at the start.
Now he's not in our hall of
fame. Can you imagine if... Yeah, I know Jim's got to go straight in, be inducted maybe to the Godfather.
Line.
Yeah. And what was fantastic there was, you know, when he said, I need you now, kept going. And then you actually didn't know who'd won because it was just so wheezy. But can you imagine if you owned the winner and that was its only win in its career and that was the only take you had of it?
At least it's famous because it gets played everywhere.
Yeah.
Can you ask Dino, did Stylish Century run the first 1,000 metres of the Cox Plate faster than what the sprinters ran in the Moyer Stakes on the same day? Led by up to 25 lengths, Dino.
Yeah, he led by a long way and probably he was... Good old Ted was a very fast sprinter that won that, or dead heated in that year's Moyer, but it was a...
How do you know that?
I've got an illness. It's...
Vincent Carter didn't have his data then, did he, Dino?
No, I haven't got data on that, but I remember that day well.
Yeah,
I've got an illness.
Hi, guys.
Elmered.
Yes. Dallison has an outstanding, consistent Group 1 form, beaten under a length in... the last three at Randwick. In the Queen Elizabeth, there was no pacemaker, so he led. They got serious at the 800, and then the pace quickened. The under hard riding from the 600 led them up at the Randwick Rise. Very Elegant caught him on the post that day. Can you guys make a case for him at $61 the win and 16 the place, Delasan?
I'm staggered he's the outsider. The one thing I would say is that those three runs we referred to, they're all in Sydney. He might be a better horse in Sydney, but he's a good... He's obviously a carbine winner and a Group 1 place getter in a South Australian derby. And he'll run a good race tomorrow. If there was a really long odds place getter, I don't know if he can win, but if there's a really long odds place getter, he'd be my vote.
Hey, Dina, what's the secret to punting successfully at Moonee Valley over the next couple of days?
That's not easy, Gareth, because we haven't got much time, because Healesville's on them coming up. But
10 minutes.
That's too long. You've got to try and imagine horses that can absorb pressure, because the Valley races are run a lot different to Flemington, to Caulfield. So obviously, sometimes this form doesn't translate as easy as you'd suspect. So you've got to envisage horses that you know that can, if they're leaders, that can absorb, that go at a good speed and they can absorb pressure. So if they've led down the straight at Flemington, those horses could be fifth or sixth in a 1200 at Moonee Valley. So it's a totally different beast. So you've got to treat it a little bit accordingly. And conversely,
so Dana, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, in a couple of weeks' time, when this Valley form turns up at Flemington, it mightn't correlate as well either. So it is a different beast, the Valley.
So Dino, tomorrow, pick whatever it is, race three, the Crockett Stakes, 1200 metres. So if you did your form this morning, and then you did it for the Valley, and then you did it for Flemington, would your numbers most likely change?
Certainly. A good chance, yes. Yeah, they would. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at that race. My top selection wouldn't change, which would be New York Baby, but I'd probably ditch a horse like Larkspur Run. I've got it in the numbers because it's already handled the Valley. And, certainly look at races a bit differently, that's for sure.
Who's the best Valley horse that you witnessed, Dino?
Oh, well, any horse that wins 19 races, but 15 of them at Moonee Valley in Dandy Kid, he's got to be the best Valley horse. Yeah.
Best jockey to ride the Valley? Is there a Valley specialist?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, he was a mate of mine and he still is, but he's not riding anymore. But Nick Hall used to cut the corners and use the angles there magnificently. And that's often when the rail's out, that's the biggest test, because you've got to be really, really sharp and cut corners and not do that looping run, because it's just too hard to do.
The other Valley specialist was Kingston Town, given that he couldn't win anywhere in Victoria other than the Valley, Dana.
No, he ran second in the Melbourne Cup, and he won a couple of Caulfield Stakes in the end. But, the Valley was... Yeah, he ended up winning
two. Was he four from four at the Valley? Three from three at the Valley?
From three at the Valley, yeah, absolutely.
What about your Friday fill-up, Dana? Because this is important with two big days coming up, and your Friday fill-up, the text messages go off. Gareth, have I missed the Friday fill-up? No, you haven't, because we're about to get it now.
Yeah, she was good to us a couple of weeks ago, so why change? Maha Shakti, I think she'll win again, race three, number five at the Valley tonight. I think she can beat Only Words. I think she's really a progressive horse, Maha Shakti.
I think I've got a Friday fill. It's not my.
It's not yours. You can't use Dino's brand and trademark throw in.
No. I've got a. What could I call it? I don't know. But
high risk.
Yeah.
Hawley's Hit and Hope.
Yeah, Hawley's Hit and Hope. Yes, that's I like that.
You're searching for Hawley's Hit and Hope, did anyone happen to hear race nine Geelong with Dino saying early doors, 11-1's ridiculous, Legend of Zorro should be around $5 or $6? Duly saluted at $5, but if you're shopping early, please.
I got a text message coming through here from Bear in Hobart. Thank Dino for Wednesday's fill-up. He's allowed me to build a new backyard, a new TV, and he paid for my wedding.
On your bear. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, Bear, but anyway.
Yes. Hey, Dino, here we go. Race one at Cootamundra.
I've heard about this. I've heard whispers here.
Yeah, race one, number five.
Mitchell Beer.
At Cootamundra today.
RSN Central's very own Mitchell Beer. With
Beer and Skittles. What a show.
Yeah, he hasn't tipped it because he jinxed it, but the whispers came, and I had a look at its Is
it Cootamundra Cup Day today?
Yep.
That's just around the corner from Twin Hills. Ollie Tate and the boys. He'll take the kids to Cootamundra and jump on. Who are we backing? Race one.
Super Adobe.
Super Adobe. $5.50. Mitch Beer. Jordan Mallion.
Geordie.
That's the whisper. And Geordie Mallion is the stable jockey. And I've got tomorrow, Dean, I know that you love the trots on a Saturday night.
I do.
Yep. There's
after Cox Plate. Last year, I had the grand final to look forward to, but this year, where are you tipping me?
Relentless Me, it's $61 and $8 the place, race three, number one. I just saved that for you two today.
I'm going to go with grand final. Oh, boy, wowee.
$8 the place, that'll do us. Hey, guys, I've been loving your work on this spring ticket, Dino, and we've got Channel 7. And Hamish, your hair and your presence has never been better, I think, these days.
Well, I think I also just realised why you think I've actually done something to my hair. I got somebody text me, said I had a rinse the other day. If anyone ever actually establishes that I've had a rinse, you can do whatever you like to my car. You can do it. Like, it's just something I never did. But I actually washed my hair for the first time since the lockdown. Maybe that's given it a bit of a difference.
Yeah, that helps.
I'm looking forward to getting back to the polo too, Hamish. Can't wait.
Oh, look, I think everyone is. Yep. People sport.
Hey, Dino, enjoy tomorrow. I'll catch you tomorrow morning from 8 a.m. Still no news, by the way, on Gold Trip, whether it's starting in the Cox Plate tomorrow.
I can't see how it starts, given listening to David Eustace today and given how the vets will look at it. If David said it's slightly off, which he did, not sure whether he said it as eloquently as he could, there's no way it's going to be better tomorrow morning. No. If that's his action, and that's what the vets are saying is his action, it's going to be pretty hard for the vet to overturn it and then just cross the fingers, isn't it, Dana?
You'd have to think so, yeah.
That's the tricky part. You often talk about it. Harry Taylor would never have been allowed to play because of the way he shuffled, but I think apparently this is the way Gold Trip goes.
What about Cale Hooker?
No, wouldn't have played again.
He's got one of the worst gates going on. Hey, love your work, lads. Enjoy the rest of your day. And, bring on McCarty.
Now, the pubs, Gareth, before we go.
Oh, yeah, the pubs.
The Emerald.
The Emerald. I've got a heap here. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to go Kelly's Hotel at Cranbourne, local.
Yes.
And the Cove Hotel at Patterson Lakes. Good food, good pub.
The Cave Hotel?
The Cove.
Cove. I'll jot that one down. What about you, Hamish? You're more of a RSL man.
The Heritage
Jackalope
of Balnarring.
The Heritage is a beauty.
The Heritage at Balnarring is outstanding. In the middle of winter by the fire, in the middle of summer, kids just ping around on the big lawn, cannot be beaten.
It's a beauty.
Yep.
Flinders goes pretty good down your way too.
Flinders is outstanding. So my wife used to go there, and I wasn't there at the time. Apparently, I used to have a big sort of sand pit in the middle and have almost beach parties,
volleyball.
Which I missed. Oh, well, I don't know about the volleyball, but I think it was pretty loose back in the day. Slightly different now, but certainly you can get a good feed there, for sure.
Love it. Johnny Rolfe's text in Ascot Vale Hotel, and you have to agree, it's pretty good down the road as well. Thanks for that, lads. Appreciate it.
Well, man.
Thanks,
McLaughlin, Dean Lester. And Pete says, best bet, King Dick, race 7, number 3, get on. So well done, Pete. That's his best bet there at Echuca. 11:17, time for a quick break.